Item number three is an application for a subdivision rezoning for 1341 St. Anne's Road under file DASZ 25 of 2009. The applicant is Mr. Michael Falk.
Mr. Falk, if you can come down and give us the meat and potatoes of what you're asking for here.
Greetings, councillors. Nice to have your ear for the next 4 to 5 hours, and I'd like to go through a step-by-step process.
Yeah, I'd like to move adjournment.
Terracon Development has been retained by the owner of this particular property, Mr. Howard Hogue, to act as its representative in the application process. Mr. Hogue is a former tenant of ours at our Keniston Development Tuxedo Business Center. And being from Grand Forks, North Dakota, he's not overly familiar with the development application process. So he has asked us to shepherd that through for him. We do get referred to from time to time as the applicant, and we're really the representative of the applicant. The applicant himself is Mr. Howard Hogue, who's up in the stands today. I've asked him to join us in case there's any specific questions that I couldn't address at at this time. Very quickly, this is a site that has been around for a long time, as everyone can appreciate, and is recognized often as the trailer park in St. Fatel. It's a total of 11 acres, of which only four approximately are developable. 3.7 acres is being dedicated to park, some of that below the 230 elevation for floodway purposes, and another 3 acres fronting along St. Anne's Road will be used for a proposed interchange and must be effectively held in a reserve for the Department of Highways and the provincial government. We are seeking a C3 zoning designation because it's the shortest distance to obtain a use as a self-storage, mini-storage type of a facility. Mr. Hogue has already agreed to accept the limitation to that the only permitted use on the 4-acre site will be that of a mini storage area. So there's no fear that this C3 property will be flipped around to a Best Buy or some other big box type of user. The intent there is to have a mini self-storage type of facility, and Mr. Hogue is prepared to commit with that. In addition, we're prepared to commit to having no outside storage. This will not be an RV or a boat storage area. All storage will be contained inside and some heated and temperature-controlled buildings. Others will be simply cold or untemperature-controlled buildings. Access to the site will be off Creek Bend Road. We, through the development process, and will make our contributions for off-site services, including the extension of Creek Bend Road. Off-site sewer and water services will be provided directly to the site as well. There is a very small office component. The total project is roughly around 95,000 square feet, I think, of finished area. I'm using rounded numbers. And a site plan has been provided to the city planner. I'm assuming you have a copy of that. We have reviewed the planner's report and are in concurrence with probably 98.9% of it. There are two small things that we would like to address. But firstly, I'd like to confirm that Mr. Hogue is prepared to commit to the construction of the pathway system for the Seine River path. I understand that to be a granular nature and approximately 3 meters in width. Landscaping along the west and south sides of the property are agreeable and will conform to current zoning standards. Landscaping along the north limit is one area that we're asking. The city planner has asked for a light-proof fence and a 20-foot landscape strip. We're prepared to move forward with the light-proof fencing, but would ask that it be limited to a 10-foot strip. In discussions with the developer of the condominium project, it's the issue of having that green belt beyond the fence to to provide some shielding for the upper levels of the condominium development. And I think that these trees can be planted in a 10-foot wide strip as opposed to a 20-foot wide strip. So that would be the one thing that we would ask. There was some mention about the fencing. The fencing for the balance of the site, which would be the west, east, and south borders of the property, will be wrought iron with no barbed wire. It's not our intention to have a prison-like atmosphere. It's intended to be very hospitable and open to customers.
No barbed wire.
With respect to the dedication, Ms. Mateel has provided me with confirmation as to the calculation of the net area and the land dedication that's required, and certainly we are in addition prepared to provide our 10% dedication above the 230 elevation, but in addition to that, there's almost 3.5 acres of land that is lower riverbank that will be provided to the city as well. There is some discussion that is yet to be had relative to where the line will be in terms of the dedication and the upper, above the 230 elevation. There's some natural tree growth that the Parks Department would like to maintain, and we would like to acknowledge that we are prepared to sit down and work with them to accommodate that, but with the firm understanding that if we go beyond that 10% dedication, that the city will step forward and make good and purchase the land is required over and above that 10% dedication. That's it in a nutshell. I think I could go on for hours if you'd like, but I brought lots of material with me.
Are there any questions at the present time? Councillor Vandell, you have a question? Or Gordon?
I have none right now.
Just
in terms of approaches.
I've read. Where will the principal approach be from?
Off Creek Bend Road.
Creek Bend Road
will cul-de-sac or dead end into a bulb, and then we'll extend beyond that bulb.
Okay. So nothing off St. Anne's Road?
No. However, if you are prepared to grant that to us, we would accept it. I've been told no, we can't have
I'll,
that.
I'll wait to see what the area councillor says.
Sure, poor Shirley, she's shaking her head.
And there's 4.5 acres being dedicated or acquired for parks, Riverbank Trail purposes?
There is approximately 3.7 acres being dedicated.
Okay.
Just for clarity there, what is it that's being purchased for as part of the Seine River, what's the term we use, the watershed or... Seine River waterway purposes, how much land is that that the city will actually buy from you?
Almost 2 acres, I think, but I'll let you answer.
There is approximately 3.7 acres in total. Let me get my survey here. 3.7 acres in total, that would be land that would be turned over as park use. Deducted from that 0.4, which would be our dedication, so it would be roughly about 3.3 acres.
3.3.
And I believe there's a fixed amount of $15,000 an acre that is paid.
To the stuff that's below 230.5?
That's correct.
Yeah. Councillor, anything else?
I don't have any more. I'll just wait. The delegations, and perhaps as you return.
Good. You're good. Okay, if you want to stand down, Mr. Falk, I'll go through the rest of the folks here. If they to speak, you can come forward and speak if you wish. If you're, when I call your name, now is the opportunity to speak. If you don't speak now, the only person that will get a chance to speak again will be the applicant who will have a chance to rebut. So Mr. Falk is here. Mr. Hogue, would you like to speak? No? You're good? Okay. I have also in support, Mr. Antiminyuk. Wish to speak? Just here in support? Okay. I have Robin Lee here in support. No need to speak, Robin. Pardon me? You want to speak? Okay, come on down.
Okay.
this building under this roof?
I guess name for the record. Robin Lee, 1540 Taylor Avenue. I checked off, I think, all three boxes. Just thought I'd, you know, see what would happen. But I'm representing the property owner to the north of the applicant's property, the Creek Bend Project, Inc., which is operating the Oxbow Condominium Complex, which is yet to be built. But I just wanted to let everyone know that it is that this project is underway. Sales are happening with a construction schedule estimated to start in February, March of 2010, with occupancy happening November, December 2010. So we are a very interested neighbor. Generally, we are in support of the applicant's use for a mini storage facility at that location. I think, as the planning department has stated, I think it's, you know, with the hours of operation that are proposed, and, you know, knowing a bit about what that kind of use is, it is a pretty low, I'll call it a low traffic use. You know, it's not a very, you know, too much of an active ongoing concern. Our only bit of concern really with this application would be with the plan approval process. And I know Mr. Falk addressed the landscape buffer at the north property line, which abuts our property. And I think really the I don't think I can give you that right now, Michael, with that, just because there is an existing tree line, you know, at the property lines that may be a benefit to keep in place. And also being that we have condominium complex being built 20 feet north of the property line, being that there is only going to be about 40 feet between, you know, the condominium residence and the proposed buildings for this complex. So being sensitive to the new residential developments being in place and based upon other developments like this that we've actually been a part of, you know, we do feel that that's a bit of a minimum requirement. Some of the other concerns that we did have, but I think sounds like they're going to be addressed, is that the fence that does get built between our property lines is a continuous fence. I've had to build nice masonry columns on these kind of fences before, but I don't see a requirement for that in this case. We do appreciate the property line being placed with more mature trees to help with that buffering against the residential component. The other items, which I think have been addressed prior to here, would be no barbed wire, chain link, no security dogs, dealing with the lighting, et cetera, et cetera. So it does sound, and no exterior storage. So it does sound like a lot of concerns from our being a direct neighbor have been addressed. And I think the only other item that I'm not sure that we can have any bearing on was just a request for building colors to be sort of in an earth tone fashion. But again, I'm not sure that there's a precedent for that. But so in conclusion, in representing the neighboring Oxbow condominiums, we would be supportive of this use subject to the plan approval criteria set out in the planning report, and just making sure that that tree line buffer, really the really important thing for us is making sure that buffer between our property and their property is as nice as it could be. That's why I could leave it open. You know, 20 feet doesn't have to be the number, but I think we need to look at the tree line that is between our properties and make sure that that's maintained and, you know, try to work with within that guideline. So I think that's all I have to present. And I do have a letter that the owners wanted me to provide. And some brochures if anyone's interested in looking at the Oxbow condominium.
Shameless. That's shameless.
Well, we just want to let everyone know that you know, it's not a future development, that it is underway and very serious and with intensive.
St. Anne's must help.
That's right. That helps too. Yes.
Okay. No questions of Robin? No. You got to come down and make representation here, ma'am. You don't get to ask from the gallery. I think I have you registered here, and we'll call you down shortly. You can stand down, Robin. Okay. I have two more folks here. I have one in opposition and one for information. Is there anybody else here in support of this application who I haven't called yet? No. Hearing none, we'll move on to the opposition. I have David Watson. David, would you like to come down and speak? Go ahead, David.
Thank you. Gentlemen, Dave Watson, 245 Queekbend Road. I'm here wearing two hats. One is as a president of Save Our Seine, and one is a resident of Queekbend Road. And my vice president is very concerned that I not try to get the two hats mixed up. So I'll simply clear away the Save Our Seine business and simply say that discussions are ongoing in terms of things like trails and trees and things like that. There are details yet to be resolved. However, having said that, everyone seems to be acting in good faith. There seems to be lots of good signs of progress, and our hope is this will be soon resolved. And this very, very lovely piece of parkland will be returned to the city and for the enjoyment of all citizens. It's good deer habitat, and it's a very nice piece of property. So we are very, very happy this is being put in the care and custody of the city and for future generations. So on that hand, I commend the developer for being so amenable for discussion, and the city for pursuing this with due diligence and working on trails and such matters. So on that hand, Save Our Seine is relatively happy the process is going forward, and they have no major concerns at this particular time. On the other hand, I take off that hat. I put on my hat as a longtime resident since 1996 of Queekbend. That puts me in the middle of the pack. Some people have been there for three generations. I have written a bit of a prepared statement. I could jump through it, and I may skip through certain parts of it, but luckily we have the luxury of having one item on the agenda, and everyone wants to get out, and I want us to get out as well. But my argument, I spent all of yesterday crafting it, so if you would bear with me, I'll read my prepared statement, making amendments as I go along. So I'll simply say, Queekbend Road is an existing residential road in the Riel community. It'll never be a regional arterial road like Ward Avenue to the north. To prevent such a transformation, John Bruce Road, which is Queekbend's northern cousin, I like to call it, was closed at both the Seine River Bridge and the CPR Emerson Line crossing during the building of Royalwood Phase 2. Now, the narrow single-lane bridges used by these two old roads would make suburban commuting very, very dangerous for commuters, so that was taken away, that chance for John Bruce. Formerly known as Crescent Road, Queekbend Road casts a broad arc over southeast Winnipeg. It terminates in the west at St. Anne's Road in the ward of Councillor Steeves, and it extends east over the Seine River towards Sioux Road West in rural Royalwood, the ward of Councillor Vandel. Over 90% of the three dozen residents of these two streets are in Councillor Vandel's ward. After this winter, that'll change. As we've heard, the 232 new condos from Oxbow and the Seine are ongoing. Next fall, people will be moving in, and they'll all be constituents of Councillor Steeves. And so majority will rule on Creek Bend in that matter. Now, so this decision affects all of the, or I'd rather say two out of the three councillors immediately. And not to let anyone feel left out, if Councillor Swandell wishes, he can compare this proposed facility with the Sentinel self-storage on Pembina Highway, which is hard by the perimeter highway. With its dedicated driveway onto Pembina Highway, its safe, easy access to the perimeter overpasses, the Sentinel site is everything that, unfortunately, the Terracon facility lacks at this time. I believe the Terracon facility, as drawn, needs amendment, and I'd like to discuss that with the committee tonight. According to the Institute of Transportation Engineers, something I stumbled upon on the internet, I'm an inveterate surfer, a mini storage facility of this site should generate 15 two-way trips in the morning peak hour and 26 in the p.m. peak hour. So as Robin Lee said, not exactly a high use compared to a shopping mall. However, 233 tenants will access the site on Saturdays, and according to the industry, most of the major uses will be in the first few months until it reaches its 80% occupancy levels. These levels still, as they were, wouldn't be so alarming if the Oxbow complex was the only anticipated development on Creek Bend, and that, I'll explain, is not really the case. Oxbow should create 101 vehicles leaving in the morning and 129 vehicles using the rush hour to come home in the evening. Now, 15 more vehicles from Terracon in the morning is not going to be that much, a 15% increase. For the sake of arguments, though, let's ignore the three dozen people who live on Creek Bend right now, about 17 trips. When new developments are proposed, often they don't think about the original residents, despite the city's best efforts. So let's turn that on its head and think about the future in the year 2015 and the 1,000 people who will be living on that particular stretch of Creek Bend Road. Now, the four large lots, agricultural lots, A5, now RR5s, between the Seine River and St. Anne's, Oxbow is being developed. There's two greenfield lots for sale right now, and one lot is owned by an absentee landlord holding it on spec for the market conditions to come his way. If things don't change and the recession seems to be in advance, we can assume that in 6 years there'll be 600 condominiums on this block. And that's just me talking out of my hat. It could be a little bit more, it could be a little bit less. Let's say very low averages, 1.3 people, 1.4 people, let's say 1,000 residents in that block there. Now, this is high density, something we'd find something like on Belleville Street. That's 264 cars leaving in the morning rush hour and 312 people coming home for supper time. And that does not count any new developments in Royalwood or anyone coming across the old bridge from Royalwood. The city would probably never allow that to happen. Now, 26 vehicles at supper time using this self-storage is a small number compared to 312 commuters. Now, Terracon or Mr. Hogue could say that most of these people will be people much like ourselves and the people in the suburbs, soccer moms with minivans putting away last season's sports gear. However, research on the internet has said that Colliers, a major company in the States, said, quote, today's rising costs and faltering economy have led some businesses to get creative in meeting their office and warehouse needs. While running a business from a self-storage unit may have seemed odd a few years ago, it's increasingly becoming the new norm. Storage units used to be used primarily for keeping residential junk, but not anymore. Now there are operating offices, industrial warehouses, and museum space tucked away amongst the old cars, kayaks, and surfing gear and overflow junk, end quote. In other words, some commercial tenants may visit the facility far more often than others do, and some may even use it every day for certain tools of their trade. Terracon may say that 26 vehicles will be mostly SUVs and half-tons, minivans, people with a little pup trailer, and they'll have no entry problems. And that will generally, I'm sure, be the case. But again, thanks to the internet, I found a thread, as they call it, where a trucker in the United States recently commented on the difficulty of delivering loads to these self-storage centers. He says, quote, "One thing to watch for is to be sure the circulation area near the front of a self-storage complex is large enough for a semi-trailer to maneuver so that it's not required to back out onto a public right-of-way, especially if these are located on arterials, which they should be, in my opinion." That's his words. "Having driven on the road for a moving and storage company, I can speak with experience. They may not be there frequently, but they will be there once in a while. And the customer is not going to be happy if the tractor trailer can't access the storage facility and it becomes necessary to shuttle the household goods from the tractor trailer to a smaller truck." Well, that's called cost. Every time you have someone handles your goods, you're paying for it. In other words, long-haul moving companies, this is on the perimeter highway, mind you, will be pressured by their cost-conscious clients to directly access the St. Anne's facility, no matter what others may say on the contrary. The Terracon site has drawn doesn't seem to have a particularly large circulation area. You wonder, where would a large truck turn around? Would truckers be tempted to back the rigs down the windy city road to the proposed warehouses? Now, the city decided, mandated actually, or I'm sorry, the gentleman has said that this was a path of least resistance. Anyway, the C3 is intended primarily for uses that provide services to residents in the community in areas dependent on, in bold, good automobile and truck access. Now, these types of commercial uses are subject to frequent view by the public and visitors to Winnipeg and therefore should provide an attractive appearance with a higher level of landscaping. Again, good access and modified signage. The subject site is deemed to be an appropriate location for the identified use. Now, city planning has stated that it has, and I use the word always, been of the view that the subject location would be suitable for a private storage facility, primarily because of the proximity to the perimeter highway. Well, I don't know whether they're thinking at that time of St. Anne's Road and not Creek Bend Road, but they use the word always, so this has always been something in the back of their mind. Now, with Sentinel Self-Storage as their model, I can see that their point. Unfortunately, this site is not comparable directly to the Sentinel site. Now, does it open onto the perimeter highway directly? No. Does it open onto the next best thing, Harrison Road, which is the unused gravel access road currently fronting the perimeter highway? Amy's Auto and other local businesses in St. Boniface use similar gravel roads for receiving loads. No, the site will not have that road to use. Now, Sentinel opens onto Pembina Highway, which is a major arterial road like that trucker recommended. The former trailer park has successfully used St. Anne's as its entranceway for many decades. Will they be using that? No. Its sole access, as said, will be Creek Bend Road, which is a rapidly evolving residential street. Now, the city has mandated that Oxbow take the costs and take in hand to pay to relocate Creek Bend from the somewhat dangerous 45-degree angle, or I don't know what that angle is. It's a reverse dogleg, which sends you skidding on a gravel road. So they're going to make it at a straight 90-degree angle. Now, that next year they're going to be doing that. St. Anne's was just redone by Borland. It's a two-lane blacktop just south of a recently twinned section. This may be the province's hand because I noticed St. Mary's also has that narrowing just before the perimeter highway. Now, there's already long lines of traffic backed up waiting to turn onto the perimeter on holiday weekends, impeding access for some Creek Bend residents already. And 1,000 extra residents will be using this non-signalized turnoff every day in the year 2015. If a future developer continues the existing Royalwood subdivision in St. Boniface southwards, the Borgers have left, but someone else may decide that they want to do that, the old narrow one-lane bridge over the Seine will probably be converted into a bicycle bridge for the expanding trail system, much like the John Bruce Bridge was converted. Now, this would turn Creek Bend, which is a virtual twin to John Bruce Road in so many ways, into a cul-de-sac, a dead-end street. Now, semis and large trucks coming from the perimeter will be turning off of St. Anne's Road without a full-width right-turn lane in the absence of a paved shoulder. After that somewhat difficult right turn from a two-lane road, they'll be immediately forced to turn hard right again on the new spur to 1341 St. Anne's Road. Now, this dogleg is almost as good as the one that they're about to replace at St. Anne's Road. They'll encounter parents and their children using the new bike trails going to the Seine River in the east and to River Park South recreation facilities in the west. And Councillor Steves and I were just at a meeting celebrating some of the funding for the $250,000 for some of these new trails just the other day. Needless to say, it's not a good idea to mix semi-trailers, pedestrians, and bicyclists. They do not mix very well. Now, it's unfortunate when the longtime landowner was landlocked by the province for the right-of-way for a future cloverleaf, especially if that cloverleaf will never be built. It's unfortunate that the landowner is unable to sell his property for the price he thinks it deserves. Now, what's the answer to his problem, his dilemma? Should they ask the city for a gerrymander, which is a complex, curling route that'll be too late for the future occupants of the creek bend to ever protest? Those 1,000 people don't live there. 4 people right now live on that stretch of land. Do the present and future residents of Creek Bend Road have to sacrifice their Bedham community with large truck traffic to have to sacrifice their privacy and their children's safety to maximize profit for the owners of this land? Now, if South St. Patel is lacking the vacant commercial lots suitable for offloading cargo into storage facilities, are the future Creek Bend residents in any way responsible? Of course not. If their children's bicycles prevent semis from making extra wide turns onto Creek Bend, are they responsible for impeding traffic flow? Of course not. If they block truck traffic turning off of St. Anne's Road and the impatient people driving behind those trucks who are on a 2-lane blacktop with their own cars also waiting to turn, are they responsible? Of course they aren't. Now, in 2015, with the advantage of 2020 hindsight, and that's what time always gives us, if a C3 property is, quote, truly dependent on good automobile and truck access, end quote, who will be seen in the worst light? The developer for asking for a gerrymandered road to access a landlocked property through a densely populated neighborhood, or the officials who approved it without really considering future growth in the community? Now, the current and the future residents of Creek Bend Road and the people of South Winnipeg deserve more than short-term thinking. They deserve long-term planning that creates a Winnipeg that is sustainable, that encourages commerce and the development of things like self-storage units, but also, first and foremost, promotes public safety. To achieve that end, I think that this application must be amended to eliminate the need for any future Creek Bend Road access. When the site was introduced up until 4 days ago as being a site off of St. Anne's Road, local residents had no reason to really feel any undue concern about it. It wasn't until when I was surfing again Thursday morning at 7 in the morning that I found out that this particular site was entering onto Creek Bend Road. And I tell you, in all honesty, none of us had any inkling or idea this would be happening. So given the time, we could have probably had more people, more residents of the community come out. We do have a few residents of Creek Bend Road here. But like I'm saying, this came on very quickly. We haven't really had time to really marshal our thoughts on it. Talking to the neighbors, there are some concerns. No one really knows how will this work out. We don't know how Creek Bend Road will look in 2015. I can draw maps till the cows come home. I can try to imagine. I can try to strategize. But I have a feeling the city has got people who are a lot better trained at it than I am. And I just like to kind of find out how the city feels that this new structure will work within the context of a brand new condominium development on Creek Bend Road. And I guess that concludes my written and prepared statements.
Any questions, gentlemen?
Thank you, David. Always well thought out. To go put your Save Our Seine River hat on again, if we could. So within the context of the report, you're satisfied that the things are on track there to get the accesses and the pathways and the room that you need?
I think that had we had time or the opportunity to sit down more closely with people like Donna Beaton and Kevin Nixon to nail down details in advance, I think we would have had a better outcome. Doing something on the fly, there's always the chance that opportunities might be missed to create and enhance the development. But having said that, all parties are working in good faith, and I think that we'll get an outcome, and we will have paths. And as I say, you can wish for unlimited amounts of time, but when these things come on the agenda, we're reactive and we have to act, and within the time frames that are allowed. So the long-winded answer is simply saying, yes, Save Our Seine has no outstanding issues with this development at this time.
I was going to ask some questions, but probably more fairly asked of our administration. So,
that's it for now?
Yeah, that's it for now.
Councillor Van Delden?
I have probably my questions are best suited to the admin. I have, I understand the gist of your submission. And I wouldn't even know how to access Creek Bend Road if I tried this evening. So how are the
Do we want to finish dealing with
Yeah, I have
we can,
no questions.
We can do that after
you.
We'll go through the administration at the end. Okay. Thank you, David. You can
Thank
stand
you.
Down.
Thank you all.
I have nobody else here registered in opposition. Is there anybody else here who wish to speak in opposition? I have one more group, couple here registered in for information only. But okay, I have I'll call the folks for information. Donna and Eric Natchuk, would you like to come down and ask any questions or present any information? Yeah, you have to, because we need to record it for the record. Thank you.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Address for the record, too.
Yeah. Eric and Donna, my wife, Natchuk, from 240 Creek Bend Road. I guess just for the record, I'd like to know, with regard to the signage of this public hearing, with regard to these mini storages, when was the signage put? Because maybe it was my oversight. I just found out about it on Thursday that the signage went up there. That's when I noticed it. And if that's the case, that was a very limited time for anybody to really look at this issue more seriously.
We'll ask the administration when we're concluded here. There is a requirement for signage, and we usually have to have a signed document that says that the signage was posted on these dates, but we'll clear that up afterwards.
Okay. I just wanted to know for the record. With regard to the mini bulk storage facility, I would like to determine or just get an idea from an information point of view, what hours of operation would they be operating? Also, with regard to their lighting, would their lighting be like a 24/7 period of time? I think if it is, if it would be in that neighborhood, you know, of having it around the clock, having the lighting around that area, it would be a distraction to a lot of the residents in the Oxbow development. And I would just also be curious to know if the realtor has made buyers aware of what is going to be, or who are the neighbors going to be to the south of that development. And, of course, last but not least, with traffic congestion. As a resident of that area, we're already encountering problems with traffic. There's no, of course, signal lights or anything like that. When I'm conducting my business in the mornings, I have to go south, and I'm already encountering a lot of traffic on St. Anne's Road.
I can tell you, as a guy who has to sit through budget meetings with Councillor Steeves, he's a strong advocate for the twinning of St. Anne's. But
okay. Yeah.
That last little piece is the bane of his existence, I think.
Right. So it is going to add to the congestion, no question about it. Whether it be the Minibulk or the Oxbow development, it's going to create some problems there. And that has to be addressed seriously with some forethought there.
Okay. Okay. I think on the realtor question, I don't think there's anything that we can give to you. Maybe you can grab Mr. Lee from the Oxbow development on the way out, ask him if they're making people aware of this when they're selling. I don't think that's something that we deal with here, but we'll bring up the rest of the items with the administration, and we'll also give the proponent an opportunity to answer them. So if there's nothing further, there might be some questions here.
I think I understand pretty clearly your comments. I don't have any questions.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, is there anybody else here for information that I haven't called? Seeing none, I'll ask Mr. Falk to come down. Michael, I know you've probably taken notes, but I've just a few things. The signage piece we'll take up with our administration afterwards, the posting. Hours of operation, lighting, and traffic seem to be the three things that came up, mm-hmm. as well as there was some further comment from Mr. Lee regarding the buffer strip If you could speak to those and anything else that you might want to rebut that's come up, it would be appreciated.
Okay. Well, certainly the hours of operation are limited to, in the planner's report, that the hours of operation should be limited from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Saturday and noon to 5 p.m. on Sunday. Those would be the manned office hours.
Did you say 9 to
6 p.m.? 9 a.m. till 6 p.m. weekdays. It should be noted, though, that there will be 24-hour access to tenants of the facility.
Right. So the office hours.
It would be the office hours that would. Right. It'd be a, you know, it's a keyless keypad entry that allows you 24-hour access to your contents of your storage locker. lighting, again, the planner's report does address that, and that as part of the final plan approval, we will be required to demonstrate that we are using some low-impact lighting and not to allow that light to shed. Perhaps John can help me with the right terminology because I've just forgotten it.
Spillage.
I'm sorry?
Light spillage.
Light spillage, yes. We want to be able to maintain that so it does not go over into the neighbors. The object here is to try and be a good neighbor. You've got to remember each one of those neighborhood people are a potential customer for Mr. Hogue. So.
Do you want to just go on lighting? I wanted to hear something further from him on traffic if you want to.
Yeah, no, I kept the list too. So
okay, go ahead, Councillor. It's in your work. You may as well.
The comments on, I guess the semi-trailers were of some suggestion. I'm looking at your plan here. I mean, I don't know if you can answer this in terms of what type of traffic you'd expect to see in there, but on a normal basis, I wouldn't have thought, I'm not putting words in anyone's mouth, but I wouldn't have thought this would be the type of thing that would be serviced by semi-trailer.
It's not. Mr. Hogue reminded me up in the gallery that he operates these facilities in Grand Forks. And up until recently operated a large facility at Keniston and Sterling Line Parkway. He, as a policy, does not permit semi-trailers to access the site, and hates to use the word never allows them, but they're not designed, they're not intended to provide semi-trailer access. As an aside, as you know, Terracon Development is in the business of developing warehouse space, catering towards semi-trailers. If this was the case of these self-storage to accommodate semi-trailers, I don't think I would be here tonight helping Mr. Hogue. I would be promoting my own products and my own developments. So these are not, as you can see from the site plan, they're not designed, they're not intended to accommodate semi-trailers.
The comments, which was a good point that was brought up by Mr. Watson, the idea of people running businesses out of these places. Now, I take what he meant probably to be more people who have product supply businesses could be in and out using this as type of a day-to-day sort of warehouse stock. Like, okay, first of all, the first question is nobody exists here in these places kind of running an office out of these places, right?
No, they're okay. Not permitted.
On the second point then, are these places rented out normally by businesses, or is there any way of knowing for sure such that traffic might be increased, whereby sort of a mid-range department store might be accessing these places on a very, very regular basis, or do we have any sense of that?
I would have no sense of it, but I can speak to you that businesses will use these mini storages. But you have to remember the typical unit size is, 8 by 10. That's the size of a typical bathroom. And the intent is to have a small personal storage in there. I do know that friends of mine in the pharmaceutical business, will use these storage lockers from time to time because their wife just doesn't want the crap in the basement anymore. And that sort of thing will occur, that businesses will use it for that. Small law firms may use it for dead file storage and record storage. That is a typical customer. More often than not, it is you and I who are going to insert our junk into these facilities and keep them because we think they're valuable. And that is the typical tenant and the typical user. Another party would be interim house moves. you know, if you're waiting for your new house to be constructed and you've got a month or two to park your materials, then they will go there. Those are typically done by, you know, two small men with a five-ton truck that will accommodate those types of uses. Any of the major van lines and moving companies already offer container storage. If you're making that transfer from Vancouver to Winnipeg and you've got a two-month delay before you can take occupancy of your new house, Allied Van Lines and the major carriers will be more than happy to warehouse that for you at a cost. So, okay.
Stays in the trailer.
Stays in the trailer, exactly.
I honestly can't imagine what, but would there be any type of noise production from the property from tenants?
No. Again, they're typically not allowed or permitted to use the premises for any kind of manufacturing or that it's intended to be a storage use. So I can't say with certainty and provide any absolute guarantee that something doesn't happen, but you know, that's, again, that's not the use. And I can speak, Mr. Hogue was a tenant of ours on the lands at Keniston and Sterling Lion Parkway. You know, I frequented the premises quite often. In fact, I was a customer of the premises while I was having a house constructed and found none of that type of operation. It was pretty domicile. It was very light come and go, and for the most part, it was mums and minivans.
Okay. The comments on the Save Our Sane side of things, Mr. Watson sounded fairly encouraging about the discussions that are going on between you, your client, and Save Our Sane with respect to the pathway. Now, who has that been involved in exactly? Is that you and Save Our Sane, or you?
I've had no direct contact with Save Our Sane. My contact has been with City Planning Department, and they had have had a tremendous amount of experience, assuming with Save Our Sane. They simply put forward the recommendation of the land that they required and the requirement to contribute towards the pass. And speaking to other developers up and down St. Anne's Road, they have all been asked the same thing. I you know, assumed we were being treated fairly and equally, and so we've agreed to the planner's report. There really wasn't anything untoward or draconian in that planning report, I thought, that would require any issues. And certainly 3.7 acres is a lot of land.
You know. Your neighbor to the north expressed, I guess, the strong sentiment that even though he was, I think, favorable towards the project, that the tree line buffer on your north property be suitable. Again, an issue for plan approval likely in the ultimate. But again, in as much detail as you probably could right now, your plans for the northern property line of your property?
Is to provide a light-proof fence, to provide a landscape buffer, to provide the tree coverage that has been asked of us. I made a note, and Mr. Hoke has nodded his head in approval, that we'll try and incorporate and have Oxbow development people part of the process in terms of sharing with them what we intend to do in terms of being good neighbors and providing that landscape build.
Did you know aesthetically what the buildings will look like?
I have some pictures of the Keniston self-storage facility. They are low-rise, slightly sloped roofs, a maximum peak of 8 feet, you know, with various roll-up doors along the side. That would be your external access, and those would be non-temperature controlled. You would have very similar features and styles on the inside, but it would be temperature controlled. There would be gas forced air heating that would be provided to you.
Okay. And finally, Mr. Lee had mentioned the southern neighbor. Is there a southern neighbor?
The Department of Highways.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Primer Highway to the
south. I thought there was a mention of the southern neighbor, whether or not it is. Okay, leave that one aside then. I have no more questions.
Okay. Councillor Vandell, you have?
My question's been answered, and so I don't have anything.
So I'm assuming on the buffer, if you were to get the 10-foot buffer as opposed to the 20-foot, that you'll still be able to work and perhaps even exceed the 10-foot buffer to make everybody happy?
Yes.
Okay. Just for the record, too, for somebody had asked about the signage posting, we have here the sworn affidavit of the person that posted it, saying that it was posted on October 19th, which meets the requirement of the bylaw. So it was legally posted in the appropriate period of time. Okay, any other questions? Michael, is there anything else you want to add before you stand down?
The biggest issue I had was I wanted to address the issue of semi-trailers and they're, you know, they're not part of the development, and I think we've made that perfectly, hopefully, clear. You know, access off of, there is no other access to this property other than off Creek Bend Road. Harrison Road, which was referred to as a gravel road, that does not go past or west of the Seine, so there is no access to
east
it.
East of the Seine.
West. West, that way.
That's the Seine, that's east, right?
doesn't go to the east side of the Seine River.
This Let's is Harrison say, Road
Councillor,
here.
Perhaps I could rephrase this better this way. There ain't no road on the other side of the river.
Yeah, that would be east.
Yeah.
Towards Lajmondier is
that
east.
One.
Towards St. Mary's is west.
All righty.
Are there any other questions?
I want to just a comment, and maybe while you're still there, I could tell you, as the area rep for the Sentinel storage site, it doesn't actually dump onto Pembina Highway. It dumps onto DeVos Road. And we don't see a lot of semi-traffic there either. So I think you're fairly consistent. You know, your comments that you don't get semi-traffic on those sites is probably correct.
Thank you for that information.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Volk.
I'll move the report with the public service for taking it read.
Hang on, let me get to my right page here. Okay, go ahead.
I'll move the report of Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor? Contrary? Carried.
Receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor? Contrary? Carried.